Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
If you, O Lord, should count our sins, but with you there is forgiveness. Thus says the Lord, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maid servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Forgive us,
renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
He remembers his covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for a thousand generations.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
See his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done.
His miracles and the judgments he uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant.
Children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are in all the earth.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning,
remembers his covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for a thousand generations.
The Lord be with you. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Sunday in Lent is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the 12th chapter. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 4th chapter. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessings of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, then faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son,
that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who is descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the beginning of our gospel reading, Jesus and Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is our text. Today, the Gospel of John lets us in on a conversation between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus. A couple of things make this conversation immediately stand out. The first one is that Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews and member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. He's a big deal. The second thing is that he came to Jesus by night, which means that he didn't want anyone else to see him or to hear him. He came, you might say, under the cover of darkness. Well, here it is written in John chapter 3, so he certainly didn't get that wish. Those two things, being a ruler of the Jews and coming to Jesus by night, are enough to immediately grab my attention. And maybe to grab your attention as well. Certainly to grab the attention of St. John. Because he didn't think twice about writing down this conversation for us. Now, I do want to be clear that just because we're listening in on the conversation of Jesus and Nicodemus doesn't mean that eavesdropping is okay. You don't need to hear every conversation. Some things aren't meant for your ears. I have to remind myself of that sometimes when I'm at a coffee shop and I can't help but listen to the conversation taking place at the next table. Some things aren't meant for your ears, but this is. So listen in. And John tells us why it's written. "These things are written," John says, "of his whole gospel, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in his name, you may have life." That applies to the entire Bible. These things, including this conversation with Nicodemus, are written for you. Why? So that you may believe in Jesus the Christ and have life in his name. So this man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher." Note that word well. "We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Calling Jesus a teacher is a sign of great respect, and calling him a teacher come from God is even greater. What do you think led Nicodemus to believe this, to say these things about Jesus? It seems that he'd drawn this conclusion based on the evidence of his eyes. Maybe the testimony of John the Baptist had something to do with it. Maybe he'd heard about a previous talk that Jesus had with a man named Nathanael. Maybe he was at the wedding in Cana and enjoyed some of the wine that had been water. Or maybe Jesus' boldness in cleansing the temple, scattering the tables of the money changers, had caught his eye. Whatever it was, Nicodemus concluded that the power of God was at work in Jesus of Nazareth. We can appreciate this conclusion. Nicodemus recognized in Jesus a prophet like one of the prophets of old, Elijah or Jeremiah, or so on and so forth. To recognize Jesus as a great man is good, but it doesn't go far enough. Still, you can work with something like that. If someone said to you, "I believe that Jesus is a great teacher," you've got a little opening to work with. And that's good because this is where a lot of people are today. In particular, it seems to me that over the last couple of years, there's a new openness to Jesus and his teachings, and that's true especially among some younger generations. People are coming, you might say, by night, in our case, usually by online, to inquire, to learn more, and to explore who this man is and what he has done. Of course, there are also many so-called Christians who believe little more than that Jesus is a teacher come from God. And there's a reason for this. That confession that Jesus is a good teacher or a teacher come from God is a confession that comes out of human reason. We can see this, we can understand it with our own minds. I'll give you one example. For all of the sin and all of the evil in this world, if you look down through history, the teachings of Jesus have done a tremendous amount of good in the world. All you have to do is see that and say, this is a teacher come from God. And people do see that. And they get that there is something special about Jesus, something special about what he's done and what he teaches. Like Nicodemus, it draws them to Jesus. Like Nicodemus, they'll sometimes put out feelers. Like Nicodemus, they're open to hearing more. One of the things that we have as Christians is the great privilege to tell them about that more. Because there is more to Jesus than just a teacher come from God. And when Jesus is approached in this way, he responds in a pretty curious manner. He speaks with words that are like an enigma wrapped up in a mystery, if you know what I mean. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It sounds like Jesus is responding to Nicodemus with something like this. A teacher come from God, huh? Is that all you think I am, Nicodemus? I mean, it's okay as far as it goes, I guess. But it's really just flesh speaking according to the flesh. Nicodemus, you're looking at me with earthly eyes. You don't really know where I come from. You don't really know why I'm here or what I'm here to do. To see the kingdom of God, you've got to have your eyes opened. You need a new birth, Nicodemus. You have to be born again from above, regenerated, to see me as I truly am. In other words, the world can get so far. They can see so much about Jesus, but it won't take them all the way. Not apart from the work of God to open their eyes and to pop open their minds and to crack their hard hearts. Because Nicodemus still doesn't get it. You know that whole bit about can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time, and you can almost hear his mother in the background protesting, I'm not doing that again. He's still thinking on an earthly level. So Jesus repeats a second time, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, this is not something you can grasp by earthly means. Just like the wind comes and goes and we can't grab a hold of it, neither can you grab a hold of how God does this work of regeneration, because it is done not in an earthly, fleshly manner, but in a spiritual way. If you believe that Jesus is a teacher, if you believe that he is a good teacher, If you think that he is a teacher come from God, then the logical implication is that you should receive his teaching and receive it in full. Being a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, or a member of the Sanhedrin isn't enough. Having your own spirituality or being a good person isn't enough. Even attending church and going through the motions, as important as those are, don't in themselves punch the ticket to the kingdom of God. What's needed for Nicodemus, what we've needed, what our world needs, and those who ask about Jesus need, is a new birth beyond the ability of man or woman. They need a new birth of and by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus points Nicodemus to where this spiritual birth is found. You must be born of water and the Spirit. We cannot help but hear in those words the language of holy baptism, the water that God has given as an earthly element, and the Holy Spirit who is at work in the Word. Whenever a baptism is done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus commanded and instituted, there is the new birth. Because that's where the Holy Spirit is at work through the Word of God. And that's where God is doing a work that is not a human work. It is not something that we can do, but that God alone can do and give. You must be born again. This is what Jesus not only offers to Nicodemus, but he gives to Nicodemus, opening his eyes to see and understand the reality of who he is and what he has done. Because this is what we are born again to. We are born again to see Jesus, to see him as the kingdom of God, to see what he has done as the means by which God brings that kingdom to us. So what does Jesus say about himself? What does he say about the things that he's come to do? I want to note a couple things in particular, because this is where Jesus goes. He says to Nicodemus, if you don't understand earthly things, how can I explain to you spiritual things? But then he does. And he begins to teach Nicodemus about himself. He says this, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. With those words, Jesus teaches that he is not merely flesh born of flesh. He is not only the son of Mary and, as it seemed to many, of Joseph, but he is the one who is descended from heaven. He has come down from the very throne of God. He is the Son of Man who stood before the Ancient of Days to receive all authority and power. And he is the one who will ascend again into heaven. You see, Nicodemus looks at Jesus, and our world often looks at Jesus, and they see a great teacher, a tremendous human being. But that is all. Jesus says that he is more than that, for he is the one who has come down from heaven, that he might open the kingdom of heaven to us as well. And then he goes on to speak about what he must do. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He's referring here to the account in Numbers chapter 21, when the children of Israel in the wilderness, as they're leaving Egypt, grumbling again against God, are bitten by fiery serpents. And they cry out for help. Moses turns to the Lord, and God says to Moses, make an image of the fiery serpent, the very thing that is afflicting and killing my people, and put it up on a pole, so that when they look at it, they may live. Jesus says that that is only a picture and an image of the greater work that God is doing. That it is not a bronze serpent lifted up that ultimately saves, but rather it is the one who takes into himself what is afflicting us and is placed upon the cross,
the one who bears in himself sin and death. And when we look to him, we are saved. We have eternal life. We receive the very power of God to rescue us from our sins and from death. And you might say it is that lifting up of Jesus that was placed into the waters of your holy baptism. When you were baptized, it was like there was a crucifix sunk into the water. And you were buried with Christ into death by baptism, so that you might be raised with him to walk in the newness of life. If Nicodemus wants to know who Jesus is, if our world wants to know who Jesus is and what he has come to do, if they would understand him, not only as the good teacher, but as the one come down from heaven, then this is where they need to look. For here we see what God has done out of his great love for the world. Here we see the lengths that God would go to save those who come to Jesus by night, or who are searching online, or who are asking questions. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. His only Son. He offered up for your salvation and for mine. This is what Jesus would have Nicodemus know. Not just that he's a good teacher come from God, but that he is the very Son of God who embodies the love of God for the world and for lost sinners. That whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He did not come to blast Nicodemus. He didn't come to rail at those who are seeking out by night to learn a little bit more about him. He came in order that the world might be saved through him, that you might be saved, and those you love might be saved, and your neighbors might be saved. And so today, Jesus comes to us in this conversation with Nicodemus, that we might be born again, called back to our baptisms, and that we might believe these same things about him today. That he is the one who has come down from heaven to be lifted up on the cross, that we might look to him and be healed. And this is the confession we make as members of this congregation. I mentioned earlier before service that today we're rejoicing with three of our people here who are joining our congregation again, who are affirming that this is their confession. This is what they believe about Jesus, not just that he is a good teacher, but that he is truly the Son of God, and that they have been born again by water and the Spirit through holy baptism. There is one more thing about Nicodemus that you ought to know. It's that this might be the only conversation we hear between him and Jesus, but it is not the only time that he is with Jesus. He comes a second time as night is about to fall, almost under the cover of darkness, but with a little more boldness this time, because he comes to Mount Calvary, to the cross, to be one of those who takes Jesus' body down from the grave and lays it in the tomb. We're told that Nicodemus had 75 pounds of spices, probably purchased out of his own means. As one of my family members said recently, that seems like a little bit of overkill, especially for someone who's only going to be in the grave for 3 days. Nicodemus believed, and he was born again. He believed not only in the lifting up of Jesus upon the cross, but he would come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, risen from the dead. And believing in him, he has eternal life in Jesus' name. May we have the same as well. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
thanksgiving sacrament and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Congregation may be seated. I invite forward Kareem, Bobay, Kay Landry, and Paul Orthella. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism and say, "Yes, I do"?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways and say, "Yes, I renounce them"?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, and say, "Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit"?
Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism, to be faithful and true, and say, "I do"?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Then say, "I do by the grace of God"?
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Then say, "I do by the grace of God"?
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Then say, "I do by the grace of God"?
I do by the grace of God.
And do you desire to become a member of this congregation? Then say, "I do."
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? Then say, "I will with the help of God."
I will with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your son and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit, they may continue steadfast in the one true faith, in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And I welcome you with the right hand of fellowship, Paul. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word, and the fervent love shown forth in our lives,
Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Protect and preserve pastors in their office. Seek out and restore those who have wandered, and bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. We give thanks for your care of David and Olivia, and implore you for continued healing. Into your merciful hands we also commend Lori in her recovery, Mary Lou, Ted, and Judy in their rehabilitations, Joanne in her sickness, as well as Jared, Victor and Sandra, Dale, Lauren, Kay, Louise, Dave, Debbie, Julian, Rosemarie, Joyce, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to our land. Stretch out your almighty arm to give wisdom to our leaders and to strengthen and protect those who serve in the armed forces of our country. In this time of conflict, arm them with courage and integrity. Open minds and hearts to your precious gospel of life and salvation in Christ, and bless the work of the chaplains who bring that gospel to them as they serve alongside them. In particular, we lift into your hands Pastor Schiff, Jamie, and Steve. We ask that you would also bless our homes. Provide us with good and godly friendships. Grant godly employment to those without work. Keep in your care all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Catherine, Emma, and Jordan. And receive our thanks and praise with Paul and Jamie for the gift of Phoebe Dawn. We ask for your support of mother and child. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. O Heavenly Father, strengthen us through the holy communion of your Son's body and blood, that by it we might receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Grant peace and comfort to all who mourn. And finally, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Unto the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father,
that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 5, a psalm of prayer. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, you cover them with favor as with a shield. Give ear to my words, O God, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my voice, my King, my God, for to you I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice. before you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. A boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors a bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name will exalt you. For you bless the righteous, O God, you cover them with favor like with a shield. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, ever shall be, world without end. Amen. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.